you really got to focus on how do I make sure that I'm providing not the same type of content week over week or month over month, but what is interesting? What do we think people are going to find novel or exciting?
Hello and welcome to episode 70 of the Smart Agents Podcast. My name is Michael Walter and I'll be your host. In today's episode, we're kicking off the new year with our conversation with Jason Gladue, president of Avani Media. With his extensive knowledge of outbound marketing and content syndication, Jason shares his tips for maximizing lead generation through your digital content. Also, as the president of a quickly growing business, Jason gives his advice for any agents looking to start their own small team. Now, before we get on to the day's featured interview, make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents Podcast. You can find the show on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and now Amazon Music. Also, as you can see if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Click the bell to get notifications when each new episode is uploaded. And lastly, if you think you or somebody else on your team has an awesome story or tip to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on to the day's featured interview with Jason Gladue. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I hope you do as well.
You know, honestly, the way I like to start everything out is if you could just tell me a little bit about yourself, who you are and what you do.
Sure. So Jason Gladue, I'm the president of Avani Media. We're a B2B technology advertising agency. I've been in the advertising and sort of lead gen world for about a decade. And have done all things marketing. And so now run a company that helps technology companies primarily focus their efforts on marketing.
Right. And so, you know, primarily our audience is real estate agents and brokers looking to build their, you know, their businesses. And, you know, it's not the way it used to be. You know, it's not the door knocking and so much the signs in the yard anymore. You really have to have that online presence now. And so, you know, for somebody that's like, you know, getting started, they're kind of spinning their tires on where to even begin with the content marketing. Where would you say they start?
Yeah. So I think there's, you know, a lot of the social channels are great, right? You've got good reach. You can do a lot of targeting, whether you're doing paid. But I think the main point is make content that's engaging, right? And then engage with the audience, right? It's not just so much just like set it and forget it. It's a lot of, hey, what sort of content do you think you would like to consume if you were your target audience? And so I think there's been a lot of really interesting work done by, you know, realtors or people in the real estate industry on places like TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat and all of this, the social channels. But I think so that's a very natural place, I think, to start, especially as you can really hyper-focus on your specific market. I think that's part of the interesting thing with real estate is it's a, if you want, you can be very niche, right? And you're a very, very specific geographic market, which means that you can become an expert, right? In the schools and the areas. And then I think obviously, you know, people have differing opinions on where email marketing is going, but I think that's a very low barrier to entry of collecting emails and then just focus on providing value before ever asking for anything in return.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot of the really effective email campaigns I see are, you know, those, the more that content newsletter type thing that maybe somebody does, you know, weekly or monthly. And at the very bottom, it's the, here's my services as an agent, or here's my, you know, listings that I have out there. But it's really those kind of, you know, the things to do in this particular neighborhood. And I think those are always really effective.
Yeah. I found, you know, I was in the market for a home not long ago. And so I still get sort of this, the email cadences from realtors and from brokerages. And I mean, I'm always fascinated by sell-through rates and number of homes available and average selling price and all that information. And I think what's equally as important is, hey, how do you go and get your sort of prospects or customers? I think a lot of it is, what do you do once you get somebody in your network, right? So once you get them interested in you as a person and the services you or your team offers, it's sort of like, how do you keep them engaged? Because they, you know, if they're interacting with your content, they're likely, right? It's a pretty high intent signal. They're probably interested or starting that process and that journey on either figuring out if you're a good fit for them as a real estate agent, or, hey, is this the best time for me to sell or buy? And I think just focusing on how do you provide them value along that journey is super critical, because some small businesses, or even heck, even large businesses, forget about the fact of like, hey, once you get them in the door, you still got a long way to ways to go before they sign on the dotted line.
Right. And the way that email, particularly email services and like the Gmails and the Outlooks and all those things work now, it's very easy to unsubscribe or for those emails to get lost in that spam folder now if they're not being interacted with regularly.
Without a doubt. And I think email marketing, you know, been around for a long time, was a very, very efficient channel when it first started. I think it is still one of the most efficient channels out there, but you're right. I think there's got to be some focus on what it looks like and sort of how it fits your brand, right? I think so much is like, make sure that this is your voice or your company's voice. You don't need to look like everybody else, right? That's certainly not going to help you stand out. And you're right. I think more people are signing up for more newsletters and more things now. And then you're like 3-6 weeks later, unsubscribe because it's easy to do it. Stuff, you know, Gmail and a lot of the other email clients will start filtering out messages that aren't interacted with. And so as an agent or somebody in this space, you really got to focus on how do I make sure that I'm providing not the same type of content week over week or month over month, but what is interesting? What do we think people are going to find novel or exciting? And that might mean having more than one email sequence or track based on what you think people are interested in, right? Or is this a track for people that are buying multifamily? Is this one that are buying, hey, this is for families, right? Because that what families care about might be very different than single guys or ladies looking for a condo in downtown, right? That is a very different message than a family and very different than somebody who says, hey, I'm trying to dip my feet into multifamily and I don't really know what I'm doing. I just think it's interesting and I'm looking for somebody to guide me.
Right. I think that's a really good point, is to have those different email campaigns for the specific customer that you have. Because if I was, you know, a 22-year-old guy looking to buy a condo, I'm not really interested in the best schools in town. Exactly. Or the best playgrounds in town. You know,
exactly. And whether you're having your prospect tell you up front, right? Whether that's, hey, what, you know, sort of, if you think about any sort of the filtering options when you're buying clothes or even when you're on Zillow, right? Looking through houses, it's like, what are you looking for? Who are you, and sort of what home or what email track, if you will, are you looking to get into? But you could also do it through, hey, if you host a webinar and that whole webinar is about multifamily, well, don't dump them all into the same cadence or same email campaign that everybody else is getting, because you know very specifically what you talked about, maybe what questions were asked on that webinar, and then that they're all interested in multifamily. And so that's a very different, you know, set of people and set of information thereafter. And it's like, yes, of course, this means more work. But it's much easier. And, you know, I think once people enter your sphere, it's much easier to get them, to keep them. And real estate transactions, usually it's a long time. Most people aren't buying and selling every year, every 2 years. But I think if you work in other areas of real estate, not just single family, if you also do multifamily, like I think there are some people that come into your ecosystem that could be interested in transacting in multiple you know, income streams for you or value streams for them. So,
right. And not only that, but also the, you know, it might not be them that are buying and selling, but they do know they have family members or friends, you know, in town that are buying and selling. And if you are always, you know, top of mind with that person, they're going to refer you out.
Exactly. I think it's, you know, I think we've been talking a lot of digital tactics here, but I think even like coming hopefully around the corner of things and getting more back to in-person events, right? Customer appreciation events, right? Yes. Like, am I going to go buy another house? I hope not, because I don't want to move again. But, you know, when somebody asks me, hey, who's a realtor in your area? I'm like, oh, I know somebody, come out to this. ice cream social, right? Like it's super easy. Yes, it costs you a few dollars to get everybody ice cream, but that's a really easy way to engage your current audience and keep them interested, keep them up to date on you, your family. Do you have a lender partner, like whatever that is? And so I think that's a coupled with sort of your digital tactics of social, of getting folks in the door, webinars of educating and kind of getting people together. I know a lot of folks did in-person seminars before, which I still think is an interesting value. I don't know if those will be staying mostly digital, just because it seems like that sort of content works really well there. And then pairing it with sort of like in-person events, I think is a good key and good concept to keep people in your sphere.
Right. Touching on the webinar, you know, I've talked to a couple agents that, you know, on this podcast that they host, you know, webinars, and I always think that's a really great idea because of the technology that's out there for those now. Yes, you can do them live and it could be a little bit time consuming, but the way they're set up now, you can host it live once and kind of set up that, you know, recording and have that email blast going out, or set up the Facebook ads to start getting people into your pipeline and really, you know, kind of educating your client base while also collecting all that, those great leads.
Yeah, exactly. I think the webinar concept is super interesting, right? You could always, in the B2B tech world, we call them like simu live webinars, right? Where you record it once and then you say, hey, every Tuesday we're doing at 12:30 or 7 PM or whatever it is, we're doing a live webinar on home buying 101. It's our 101 class. And then you don't really need to show up and do that class again and again, but you could pop on to make sure there's like, if anybody's got questions, you could answer in the chat or whatnot. And you're still getting those really great leads with a lot less work on your end.
Right. Absolutely. And
I was going to say, I think the other big value of doing webinars and video content in general is for social, does really well, but you can start like chopping up bits and pieces of those to create additional content for yourself. Right. And then think about, how do I take this webinar or another video ungated in that email campaign nurture stream to continue providing another way for people to interact with my brand?
Right, exactly. And you mentioned the chat logs also. I think those are always great places to find new content, because if those questions are being asked, somebody else probably has it and you can put a video out or a piece of content answering that question.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if this was from college or they're like, hey, if one person has, you know, if somebody else, if you're thinking of a question, somebody else probably has it as well. So go ahead and raise your hand and ask. I think that's great. I think it's a really easy way to sort of like quote unquote crowdsource your content ideas. It's like, you don't need to be sitting here like, oh, what do I need to come up with? It's like, hey, go look at Instagram, go look at Twitter, go look in your DMs, go look at the chat logs from your webinars to see what information are people asking about or craving. Is it, even if it's something very specific and it's a 2-minute video, well, that 2-minute video means I didn't have to spend the time looking for 2 hours on Google trying to find an answer and sort of figure out, is this the same for my area or does this only apply to New York City?
Right. Right. And talking about that, you know, taking that one piece of content and really kind of spreading it out through the different channels, I always think that's a really smart thing, because I think people, you know, sometimes they do think about the content creation and they're only thinking of it in one specific place, and they get overwhelmed when they think of all the different channels that are available to them. And it's really easy to take one, you know, maybe it's a 5-minute YouTube video and chopping it up into, you know, 6 different Instagram reels and all these different videos and a whole bunch of Facebook videos.
Yeah. And then you can, it's like, you can post one on LinkedIn, you can do a slider on LinkedIn. Like there's so many ways to take the same concept, whether it's just you chopped up that video or you transcribed some of it and you took it and put it in text on Twitter. You made it into a thread on Twitter. You know, I think it's really important to be as native to the app or to the experience as you can. That way it doesn't feel like you're just taking that same video and posting it across all of your social, which looks like automated and not as interesting. But again, the sort of taking your good content one time, chopping it up is a super smart way to scale your brand and save you time.
Right. When it comes to the content marketing, the one thing that I think people need to understand is it's kind of like that slow burn effect. It's hard to really pinpoint a specific amount of sales, if you will, on a particular piece of content. What would you say to people so that they don't get frustrated when they don't see, you know, immediate returns or can't exactly pinpoint an amount of sales to a certain piece of content?
I think this is, so in B2B marketing, we call it attribution. It's a lot of people try to and spend a lot of money on figuring out what exactly is the right mix and what sort, is it webinars? Is it gated content? Is it Instagram? Is it Facebook ads? What is it that got me those, you know, those next four people that walked through the door? And I think it's, if it were only that easy, right? I think there's a lot of technology that makes it appear that easy, but there's so many other factors that go into play. A lot of people call it like the dark funnel, because you don't really know what's happening in these specific, you know, private Facebook groups or in the Instagram comment section or in the DMs that's really moving somebody towards you and towards your brand. And so I tell people, if you need a model to figure out what's working, then just pick one and stick with it. But ideally, you would look at the totality of what you're doing and not judge, well, we did two webinars and it doesn't work because we didn't get any leads or it didn't get any sales. Well, you know, I think the, I heard this the other day. It's on average on YouTube, it takes 156 videos to get your first 1,000 subscribers, right? So it's consistency and consistency across all of these things and a belief that, hey, as long as I'm providing a bunch of value and I can test different channels and different formats, but you've got to actually do a little bit more than one or two videos or just put your toe in the water because it's not going to be enough to move the needle. You've got to really be consistent and say, hey, I'm going to commit for 3 months or 6 months of doing a webinar every week or doing webinars on Tuesdays, 1 week and Thursdays the next, and just commit to it. And then after a few months, you can say, does this work? Does this not? Do I enjoy it? Is my audience finding value in it, irrespective of what the sales figures say?
Right. And I think one way to really kind of, you know, fast track the amount of stuff you're getting out or the amount of times that your name is getting out with a piece of content is through that content syndication idea. Tell me a little bit about that for people that aren't quite, you know, don't quite know what that means and really what that can do for them.
Yeah. So at its basic form, content syndication is taking a piece of your content, you know, gating it and syndicating it across sort of different networks of people. So, you know, if you're at its most basic form, if you're on most like local news sites, you scroll down, you'll see something called Taboola or Outbrain, which is like articles that they're recommending to you. That's syndicating articles from different publishers onto your local, you know, news station's website. And in the sort of social world, that could mean running a LinkedIn lead gen ad. And that's sort of, you wrote this little white paper or you came up with some sort of novel. Is it a calculator? Is it a, you know, you're sort of writing something about cap rates, whatever it is, and giving some value, syndicating it to audiences that don't necessarily know you, and then exchanging their contact information for that. I think that can, you know, whether that could be a webinar, that could be a bunch of different avenues. I think the challenge that people have with it is you've got to really, if you've, people might not interact with it if they don't know you or your brand. Right. And so when we talk with, you know, and if I shift really quickly to B2B tech marketing, the brands that are bigger and more well-known, people will interact with those pieces of content much quicker because they're like, oh, well, I know that company. I know NVIDIA. I'm going to go ahead and download this. I'm sort of interested in it, but let me dive more because I trust the brand. I trust the company. If maybe you're not as new, maybe if you're not as well known to your local market, then you've even got to go further on the value that content provides because somebody's got to be like, I don't know who Michael is, but this thing is sounds really interesting. Yeah, I'll give up my email and so I can get this calculator or I can get this piece of insight that I wouldn't have otherwise received.
Right. I think even just, you know, as an agent, you know, working with those local media outlets, finding, you know, reaching out to those TV stations to say, hey, if you ever are looking for somebody to interview about market updates or anything like that, here's my number. Like putting yourself out there as a person that they
for
can
sure. And sort of to pour fire on that, right? If you said, hey, I'm going to give the market updates on Instagram, on my, like, I'm going to go live and just do it. And then you can start telling the local news stations, like, hey, look, I already do this. This is what you're going to get from me. This is the value you're going to get. That way it's almost a no-brainer for them because they already know. They're not like, okay, well, yeah, I'll just take a flyer on this guy and figure it, see if he's worth it. And I think that's what's been really interesting over the past, you know, call it decade of social media, and maybe really over the past like 3 or 4 years of the creator economy really taking more ownership, maybe is the right word, but really having that leverage now to put out and distribute this content much faster and to just as wide of an audience as your local news station.
Right, absolutely. Something you talked about earlier was, you know, really being able to hone in on the market and kind of really hone in on your specific niche for social media marketing and things like that. For agents to really be able to target their specific neighborhoods or a specific type of buyer, what tips do you have for them? Because, you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's just going out everywhere, and I'm worried that the people interacting with myself might be all the way across the country or really not, you know, somebody that is necessarily ever going to turn into a client.
So I think if you think about it from like a paid perspective, right, you can get really targeted on zip code, depending on the platform where you want to run ads. I think from a, you know, if you're talking about like Facebook, Instagram, like contextual and sort of keywords can be really valuable there. But I think if you're talking about like, hey, just my, you know, earned media, right? I'm not paying for it. It's, I think the more relevant that you can make your message to your specific market, the more likely that you are to get your buyers, right? If you're just talking generally about real estate or schools and how schools are important, or, then I think, yes, you are likely to cast a very wide net and get people from surrounding states or surrounding communities that might not transact in your sort of your neck of the woods. But if you can be really specific about why this intersection is really interesting and growing quickly and why, you know, there's six condos going up here and this is the value that the developers see and that people are buying for, then you're just really focusing in on your community.
Awesome. I was kind of switching gears a little bit before we wrap up. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, how you've built your company with this whole idea of creating the proper culture within it. Tell me a little bit about how you've, I guess, grown your company over the past several years.
Yeah. So we've been growing very quickly, and I think it's exciting, but at the same time, there's a lot of growing pains that goes in that. And I think culture is always a huge component of this. I think you want to hire people who want to be here, and you sort of hire for, I always say, like, I'm hiring for attitude, and I can always teach you what you need to know. Because you want people who want to come in, be a part of something, believe in the mission, and then we can help them understand how to get the job done, how we think about marketing, how we think about content syndication, lead generation, all of those things, and how we interact with our clients. But what I can't teach you is just showing up, having good attitude, and caring, really. And so overall, it's not super helpful, but I've done a lot of hiring just based on gut. Like, do I think that this person cares about just doing a good job and showing up and having a good time and being positive? Yes, there are aspects of everybody's job, I feel like, that are not fun or that get hard. But when you can lean on a great group of people who really value each other and value the work that we do and where we're going, I think you've got a lot of opportunity for success.
Yeah, and I think for, you know, agents that are either looking to start their own teams or brokers that are looking to expand, you know, I just know, just in my own experience or, you know, friends' experience, you know, that job that you might get hired for in a year is completely different than what you're actually doing. And it comes down to, you know, just that whole, that idea of, you know, for the employee side of it is when you put in all your effort and you are really, you know, invested in the company you work for, those different opportunities are going to come along. So on the flip side of that, as the hiring, you know, the person hiring, you know, understanding that that is probably what, you know, is going to happen. So you are hiring for that attitude.
Yeah. And I was, I, you know, I always try to lead with as much transparency as I can. You know, honesty and communication are huge. And I tell people, look, we're growing really quickly. How I grew so quickly in my career was doing a really good job at my sort of day job, and then finding areas that the business needed to be improved on and just jumping in and doing those things. And so I tell people, look, like, we're growing quickly. This is what I believe to be true right now, but there are likely areas that you will see here that you think you can go fix, or things that can be improved. And I say, go do it, right? Let me know, but go fix it, right? Let's be solution oriented. And I agree. I want people who can, you know, who wear multiple hats really, but also who understand, like, hey, this is my job today, but, you know, in a year, 18 months, I might be doing something different. And I personally think that's really exciting if they want that, right? If they don't want that, then that's totally fine. I'm sure we will have that same role in 18 months. As a matter of fact, I know we will. But there's so much linear growth opportunities, and even, you know, sort of up the org chart opportunities that don't exist yet, because we just don't know what we're going to exactly need. And so I think if you're starting out looking to hire a number, like your first employee, maybe your second, I think being just really honest and letting them know it's a great learning opportunity for them. It's a great learning opportunity for you as being, and, you know, now it's not a solo shop. You've got some folks that can help out. But just saying, look, like, this is what I think we need to get done. But hey, if you see something that you think you could make better, let's talk about it. Let's figure out how you go tackle it, because that's going to grow your skill set. The business is going to get some extra value there. And then who knows, maybe you taking that initiative, maybe you're always going to be, you're setting yourself up for being number two, right? As that company continues to grow, maybe you become partner, maybe you become, you know, the right-hand man or woman to, you know, whoever's running the show.
Right. I think that, you know, especially for these smaller teams, people going into it that are looking, you know, these agents that are maybe looking to move brokerages, and they do find that, you know, they have that opportunity to join a smaller team, is going into it with that understanding that you have a ton of room for growth, and having that ability to be collaborative in the growth of that company, like, is always really exciting.
Yeah, for sure. I think especially if you leave a bigger brokerage and you're coming down to like a one man, a one woman show, it's like the red tape is gone, right? Like, we don't have, maybe there's not all these like big policies with a capital P, right? Or big process with a capital P. Maybe we have some opportunity to create some good process, you know, like a lowercase p. It's not scary. It's just, it helps us be more efficient. But if that's what you like, and that's exciting, because that's going to make your life easier, that's going to make your boss's life easier, and then you can always say, hey, I know how to do this. I think from an employer perspective, right, if you bring on somebody in that first role, and you're very entrepreneurial, and so are they, you've also got to expect that they might want to leave on their own at some point as well. But personally, I think there's, like, that's a really big honor for you as a boss, right? That you were able to take somebody, sort of mold them, help them grow, help them sort of feel comfortable jumping out and going out on their own. You know, if everybody leaves on good terms, then it's like, that's excellent, right? It's sort of a big, statement for you as a boss.
Right. So now, you said that a lot of times it comes down to your gut and just that gut feeling of this is going to, you know, this is the person. But for somebody that's like, I just don't, you know, I've never done it before, I've never hired, you know, to kind of start building a business, what tips do you have out there to kind of start finding those right people?
Yeah. So I mean, I think, like, most, if it's just a two-person show, you're going to be spending a lot of time with this person, right? All day, every day. So I'd make sure that, like, we actually get along, like, that I enjoy. And you know, that's not going to be an interview question. That's going to be, hey, let's spend some time together. Hey, maybe coming in, let's do a half day together. Like, let's just actually, this is the actual work that you're going to be doing. Let them, you know, sort of test drive it, right? And you get to test drive them. It's, hey, come see if you actually like the job. And I'm going to see if we actually get along and have a good rapport, because that's super important for you and for me, right? This is your opportunity to say, you know what? No, I don't like this. It's too scary. Or, you know, there's not enough structure, because I think there are some people out there who need more structure. And if you're coming in and you're number two at a, you know, what was always a one person brokerage, then, you know, like, that's, like, that could be very scary. And so I would say, like, try to figure out if you enjoy spending time with this person. I think you've got to make sure that the flip side is just because you enjoy spending time with them doesn't mean they're going to be good at the job. And so you've really got to make sure that you understand, like, what do I need this person to do? And I think it's like, detail it out, be as specific as you can, because what you don't want to have happen is you hire somebody like Whitten. I definitely did not want to do that one thing. And, you know, if it's like, hey, stock the, like, hey, you might have to run to Costco and get some supplies every now and then for an open house, or for whatever it is. Like, if they were like, no, I don't want to do that. Well, if you didn't really state it clearly, then you're going to be in sort of this challenging position. And so I think spending some time with them, especially in the beginning, really understanding if you guys mesh well, but then also being as specific as you can with yourself, especially if you're like, am I trying to delegate things I don't want to do? Or maybe I'm not good at, which is always another good opportunity there. Or if I'm really bringing on more of an equal to come help. I think that's critical.
Yeah, I think that's really important, especially for somebody that's like just starting out, is to really kind of figure out what it is you're looking for first. Because are you looking for that, you know, kind of assistant that helps you just kind of line everything up and, like you said, make that run to Costco? Or are you looking for a buyer's agent if you're really focusing on being the seller agent and you're going to kind of run the show together?
Exactly. Because you would hate to make that critical mistake when you're like, oh, I'm actually looking for a buyer's agent, and you go hire an assistant or vice versa. And so I would also say that's not an easy job, right? Trying to figure it out in your head, been there. Like, we're 10 people, 11 people today, will be 30 or 40 by the end of next year, probably in the next 12 months. And so we still sort of like, what is this role exactly? What do we actually need this role for? And then reevaluate. Do I still need this person? Do I still need, not once you hire them, hopefully, but like, is this like, I think in the next 3 months, I need this role. Do I still need it 2 months from now? Or has something in my, you know, has something changed? Has the world changed around me? And I now know something that I didn't.
Right. And then I think with that also, you know, as you grow a little bit more and people do kind of come and go, do you still need that specific role, or has it morphed over time? You know,
exactly. And I think being honest with that person, if this is where you're at and this is where I need you to be, this is where the business needs you to be. And if they don't want to or can't make that jump, then that's totally fine, right? The business moves and it sort of grows organically and morphs. And that person might not, you know, be a fit anymore, but that's okay, especially when you look at people who join early startups or one or two man or woman shows. And then all of a sudden there's 25, 30 people. And it's like, well, this is a big company for me. I don't know if I like this anymore. And that's totally fine. But I think it's about being honest and giving them the opportunity to figure out for themselves as well, if they are willing to make that jump with you. And if not, then, you know, no harm, no foul. You know, I think the adage of like hire slow and fire fast is always good.
Right. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me this morning.
Yeah, it's been great. I appreciate you having me on.
I want to thank Jason for joining us today and really appreciate all of his great tips for not only maximizing the value of your content, but also his advice for hiring the right people for your growing business. So once again, if you think you or somebody else on your team has an awesome story or a tip to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.